hello, and welcome to LX2 Codependency Coaching. I am Stella. We are recording live on Instagram at Luna_X2_LLC. And hi, friend. I have been thinking about the podcast kind of all week. And also, there's this phrase that I use and a lot of us use. It's fine. I'm fine. It's fine. And as long as you say it three times, that makes it true. That's not real. But it makes us feel better because you're just like, I'm fine. It's fine. I will get through whatever it is I'm going through. And I was thinking about kind of this idea of the default setting. So I use that phrase often. If you've listened to the podcast for any length of time, Kat and I used to talk about our default setting. It is the setting that we go back to when we are working on growing, changing, and learning new skills. And so I was thinking about it. Yesterday, I had a whole morning. There were lots of parts that were not my favorite, and I, you know, went back to my default setting. I have shared before that I am a reactive human. My self-talk can be shitty, and I sometimes say unhelpful things. And so I was having a morning, things were happening, and I went back to my default setting, and I was able to kind of correct pretty easily, recognizing that that was not the most helpful way to behave, and kind of worked on it. It happened a couple times, you know, once, you know, after I got done with the walk with the dogs. And then again, when I got to the office, I had not read the name of the client that was coming in at 10. And so I sent another client a reminder. And then the front desk said, hey, your client is here. And I was like, my client is supposed to be online. So I walked up front and that client had an R in her name. It was the whole thing. And I was like, I'm so glad that you know what we're doing this morning. Brand new client. She's like, do I? Yes, you do more than I do today. Came in, got the paperwork together. We kept it pushing. But instead of, you know, really kind of berating myself or being like, oh my God, I'm so dumb, I was like, I am having a morning. And so thank you so much for knowing what we're doing. And she was like, all right. And we rolled with it and it was fine. And I do recognize that, like, when I am trying to do new things or building a new skill set, I go back to my default setting. And I had shared on, I think, TikTok, that, you know, my daughter and I had a conversation on over the weekend, maybe Monday. Anyway, she was like, Mom, can I share with you this download that I've gotten? I've, you know, doing some things and I received a bunch of information and I was like, cool. And so we were processing that. And my daughter has also been on her self-love journey. And I love when we have these conversations because she speaks my language, like she speaks the therapy language. And I was not a therapist when she was growing up. I was a human being working on raising a human and going to school and learning a bunch of things. Anywho, we have this kind of shorthand that I have with a lot of my friends because we speak the same language and often we are, you know, teaching each other new things. Anyhow, my daughter said, you know, she's working on these things and I just had a really beautiful moment with her. And I said, you know, thank you so much for loving my daughter in all the ways that I couldn't when I was raising you, because I was loving you from my trauma. And, you know, now I get to love you from my healed self. And it was a really beautiful moment between the two of us because I could acknowledge that, you know, experiencing life from our trauma means that we have those unhelpful coping skills. Yes, we are able to get through it, but it's not until we have the awareness of a different way of doing things that we can then start to integrate new tools, new awarenesses, all the things. It was a pivotal opportunity for us to acknowledge both where we are today and meeting each other in this moment, right? This version of us and this version of her and us, all of us inside here. But to really acknowledge that she has been able to love herself in all the spots and ways that I didn't do a great job because I was learning and growing and trying to love myself. And now meeting her at this place, I'm able to see her in a different way and she's able to see me in a different way, which is really helpful for both of us. But that idea of loving or existing from our trauma is our default setting. Like my default setting was set when I was growing up in all those ways that I had unhelpful coping and yet was still able to get through and, you know, proceed in a way that was getting me to this place. That said, I do recognize that when we are growing and changing, when we are evolving and learning new skills and learning new ways of behaving and even just being aware of things, right? Our lenses are the way that we see things, that shifts and changes. And as I was processing, you know, this topic this week, kept coming to this idea of like, changing from my default setting has been difficult. It continues to be a challenge as we try to do things in a better way for our experience. We go back to those unhelpful things. And processing this morning with my accountability buddy, you know, we talk in this way of like, oh, I am struggling here, or this sucks, or I don't do that well. And so she said, you know, we really need to work on changing our language so that we can say things in a more helpful way. And, you know, she and I are both therapists. And so it was like, we reframe things for people all the time. I am the queen of a reframe. I can change anything into an opportunity. That said, you know, rather than saying, I am struggling here, I suck at this, or this is not the best way of doing this, this is, you know, whatever. I'm in the process of learning. I'm in the process of growing. I'm in the process of changing. I haven't received the whole download yet, and I am still integrating new things. Yes, at my big age, at this moment in time, with this career that I have, I am still learning things, and I am so grateful because that means that I have the ability to do it differently. Except that our default settings are still triggered, and those buttons are still there. And so when we go back to old coping skills or old patterns of behavior, it is an opportunity for us to recognize that still needs tweaking, that still is triggered, that still gets me, you know, overwhelmed or irritated or whatever it is. And so as I am working to be this healing version of myself, it is a process. It is not a destination. It is ongoing and continuous. And so when we recognize, what is it that I am still struggling with? What is it that I am still growing into? I have to recognize what my old skills are, what my old default setting is. I talk a lot about being a doer. And it's helpful because it's gotten me to this place. But even from my codependent place, I am still recognizing when I feel the urge or the need or the impulse to do more, right? I have to do more, to do more things. I have to push a little harder. And I'm tired. Sometimes I get overwhelmed. Sometimes, you know, in all of the things that we continue to want to grow and learn and change, it's exhausting sometimes. And sometimes I don't need to do, right? Sometimes I need to sit back and observe and let things play out and not jump in and try to fix it or change it or do more. And that's really difficult because as my default setting has said, you know, in my experience prior to now, I am observing everyone else's feelings. I'm observing everyone else's needs. I'm making sure that all of that is managed so that I feel safe. My impulse as a human being with a reptilian brain who perceives everything as a possible threat is I have to keep myself safe. So I have to, what else do I have to do, right? I think I shared with you guys when I was getting my toes done a while ago, this woman said, like, maintenance is hard for women of color. And I said, women in general, right? So a lot of times, not just women, but it's my experience as a woman, that it is our job to nurture. It is our job to protect. It is our job to take care of other human beings, especially tiny ones. But just in general, that is what we have learned. And in doing so, we push back on not taking care of ourselves because I need to make sure that everyone else's needs are met. Having a conversation with a client and her partner had said, one of the things I love about you is you take care of everybody else's needs first. And that would have been a compliment to her at some point, except that now she has this self-awareness that there is no space for me in these dynamics. And oftentimes I am working with clients to encourage them to create space for themselves in their life. As they're telling me the narrative of the things that are going on, oftentimes they are sharing that they are taking care of kids' needs and partners' needs and parents' needs and all of these other things. Plus, on top of that, doing a full-time job of whatever it is they do in that experience. And so when I ask, like, well, what does self-care look like for you? Where are you making space for you? At least three clients have said, I have an hour in the morning. An hour in a 24-hour period for yourself? What? And that is, for a lot of us, that is our experience, right? We have very busy, full-time lives, and there's not a whole lot of space for us in that life. As I have worked with clients and they start to carve out more space for themselves, they start to pull back from certain dynamics where they're doers, they start to recognize I wasn't creating space for me. It is my default setting to take care of everything else, to make sure that I feel safe, and to make sure that I feel valued and worthy and seen and all the things. And in doing so, I have created unhelpful habits with these other individuals in my life where there is no space for me. And that is our default setting. Without recognizing that if there is no space for you and something happens to you, who's going to do all the things, right? Who's going to make sure that, the laundry is done and the groceries are purchased and they're put away with both the laundry and the groceries? Who's going to make sure that the bills are paid and, all of those things that we just take for granted, if someone else is doing it, how's that going to get done? And what I know to be true is, and I was having a conversation with another friend of mine, we are not indispensable. Not any one of us. And I have said that before. When you recognize that there are people in our lives that are no longer here and the job still gets done. And so if we are not taking care of ourselves, if we are not making ourselves a priority, if we are not carving out that space for ourselves in our lives, then we are depleting our own, resources. We're depleting our own energy. We're depleting our own health. All of those things that we take for granted, and not until it's gone do we recognize, oh shit, should have taken better care of that, right? I've shared with you guys that I have arthritis in both my knees. I've broken fingers and I broke my ankle. As a human who likes to get up in the morning and go for a run 2.5 to 3 miles every day, when those things are compromised, it's really difficult to do. And so then it makes me a lot more aware of how I'm stepping. What I'm eating, if I rested enough the night before, because I'll still get up and do it, but if those things are compromised, it's a little bit more of a struggle. So that's something to be aware of when we start every day with the litany of things that need to get done. How many of those things are about you, right? If anybody knows me in person, I like to have my water, I like to have my coffee, I'd like to make sure that, my laundry is super important. And I do those things for myself because, again, I'm not taking care of anybody else except for the tiny dog. But in order for me to do my job, I have to make sure that I'm taken care of. And that has not always been the case. Usually I'm just like pushing and trying to get the next thing done and the list checked off and all the things. And so when I talk with clients about, their anxiety and what is keeping them up at night or what is preventing them from going to sleep, a lot of times it is that litany of things in your head, right? Of what we have to do. And I was listening to podcasts because I do. And I was listening to the Mel Robbins one, who was talking to this researcher on happiness. And what he was saying is it's not the goal, right? It's not the end result that actually makes us happy. It's the doing. And there's an awareness to that in terms of having meaning and purpose. And I talk a lot about meaning and purpose because, as an existential therapist, and just a reminder, so existential therapy aligns with existential philosophy. So we're born alone and we die alone, and what we do in the middle is what makes the difference. And so, to this researcher's point, it's not the goal. It's nice to have a goal, and it's important to have a goal. We talk about goals all the time, but it's what you do in the middle, in the doing. And in recognizing sometimes we don't have to do more, we have to just sit still and allow things to unfold so that we can take the next step, so that we can continue to move forward in the direction that we are headed with that, goal in mind of being more aware, of being more peaceful in attracting that peace, in cultivating more space for ourselves. As I have said in the past, as we create more space for ourselves, That is where the peace lies. But for those of us who are constantly just hammering and going and pushing, there is no peace. There's only the doing. And then there's the thoughts before you go to bed. You know, what else do I have to do tomorrow? How can I make this better? A lot of times, you know, that default setting, when things are not working in the way that we want them to, we take it upon ourselves to have, what else do I need to do? What more can I contribute to this to make it better? And sometimes it's not about you. In fact, most of the time, you're doing everything that you can, and you need that other kind of buy-in for recognizing that sometimes things just need to unfold. For those of us who are doers, for those of us who have been raised in that, you know, perfection-seeking mentality, we don't recognize when it's actually fine. And in the imperfection, there are things that we need to gather. But a lot of times, because we're pushing and pushing and pushing, trying to seek that perfection, trying to reach that goal, we are missing the opportunity to sit still. We are missing the opportunity to let things come to us because we're so much like pushing. And so in that concept of detachment, recognizing if I just allow it to come, if I just allow it to be, then I am not pushing to get it. I am allowing myself to receive. And so in that be the bowl, B-O-W-L, presentation, I can be receiving of what comes. And I don't have to do any extra things to let that be. So challenging for those of us who are constantly seeking it out and trying to get it, and especially when it comes to acceptance, validation, and love, we are always in that space of like, what else can I do? Because I don't know what you're doing over there. You know, I say often in therapy, when other people have feelings, okay, I see you having a feeling. And if you need support, let me know, right? In the conversation this morning, we were both acknowledging I can do better and I am working on doing these things. And I said, because it's something I am always evolving in, I will do better at asking for my needs so that if I, you know, have a need of being supported or being seen or being heard, I need to say it out loud in words. It's really interesting because we talk, when we speak with clients, we, the therapists, oftentimes it's, you know, well, did you say that out loud? And a lot of times they'll be like, well, they should just know. Nobody just knows. Except that if you grew up trying to manage chaos or trying to keep yourself safe or trying to mitigate or minimize an unhelpful reaction, we are constantly thinking three steps ahead of any situation or circumstance because I need to keep myself safe. That reptilian part of our brain, the cerebellum, creates that fear that there is always a saber-toothed tiger around the corner. And so if I'm not doing, I'm not living or alive, right? Living and alive are two different things. But recognizing that is a default setting. And a lot of times when those of us have grown up in chaos or trauma or addiction or whatever, we're always trying to pay attention to like, when is this going to go off? When are bad things going to happen? And that's our default setting, is the assumption that something bad will happen. What we are not allowing is the good things are already happening and I don't have to do more. I don't have to push more. I don't have to, you know, put my hands on it and try to control it. And so that's where that be the bull came from, is that I'm always trying to control things. Sometimes I just need to stop. And that is challenging for me to do and I am working on it. You know, I don't have to do more. And so back to that conversation with me and my daughter, you know, she's doing her stuff. She's doing her work. She's a grown-up. She lives on the other side of the country. And I get to just be grateful and witness that she is loving herself in all of those parts and places where, you know, I was doing it from my trauma, from my own situation. And she's able to manage that. And I don't have to do anything. I can just really appreciate all the work that she's done. And the same is true for me, right? In my spaces, especially when I'm struggling, when I go back to that default setting of like, wow, what else do I have to do? I can slow down and stop, check in with myself and be like, okay, friend, like what do you need? Right? That's helpful. And then Can you take care of that, or can you ask somebody for it? That's part of loving myself better. That's part of recognizing when I am full, when I am taking care of myself in a way that is helpful, and then I can also receive it from the people in my life who are beautiful at taking care of me and loving my parts all at the same time. Then I just can sit and be receiving of that. It is challenging for me to sit still as someone who is constantly, doing and trying to improve and reading and meditating and, going on walks and having conversations. Sometimes I just have to sit still. And it's challenging at times. I'm better at it today, and I continue to get better at it with practice. But sometimes we just have to sit still. So the first step, anytime I meet a new client, is your homework today is just to be aware, just to observe what is going on around you, and then how does that feel? When they can slow down, when I slow down and recognize how am I feeling, what are my needs in this moment, then I take better care of myself so that I can continue to do and be present and spend time and share space with the people that I care about. And I'm able to share space in a more effective way when my job is to encourage clients to just sit still and be aware, right? Recognize what your default settings are, and then recognize, do they still serve you, or is there a better way to do it? And if the doing is not doing, but just sitting and being receiving of it, that's something to be aware of. If we are constantly like doing all the things, how do I get to that place where I can actually just receive it? Receiving is hard for people a lot of times, especially when you're struggling with the negative self-talk or you're struggling with, how you feel about your situation or circumstance. It's really difficult to be receiving of, compliments or help or all the things. Interesting. I had a conversation with a teenage client, and they were talking about, well, it was the parent and the child, teenager. And so it was really kind of interesting. They were talking about getting her hair done, like straightened or whatever, and the mom was like, "Sometimes you can be really negative and critical about the way that I'm doing it." And so I asked the client, I was like, "Can you do it yourself?" And they said, "Well, yeah, but if I can get help, I'd much rather get that." And I was like, "Well, that's an interesting take." Because I don't, it's not my orientation to receive help. I have gotten it, and I'm so grateful when I do, but it's not my first go-to. Like, my first go-to is I'll just do it my damn self. And that is my default setting. And I am working on and continuing to challenge myself to be receiving of help when it comes. As I've shared with you, I have really good friends who take such good care of me in a nurturing and loving and supportive way. And today, I am definitely better at receiving that. But I do recognize that it's my default setting to just do it myself. It's my default setting to push through and just do what I need to do, right? And then I'm resentful and angry and frustrated, and so then I'm cutting and I say unhelpful things. And I'm, working every day in here to go, hey, friend, like, we actually do deserve people to love us. We actually do deserve people who are kind to us. We actually do deserve someone who is in our corner supporting us consistently. So when you can start to shift the narrative in here, I am a good person. I do kind and loving things. I am worthy of having good things and good people in my life. I consistently get up and meet my the words are hard. I set goals and I meet them. That's who I am. That's how I function. And I do that with the love and support of the people around me. And so whatever that narrative is to shift in your brain, it starts with checking your facts and being aware of how you're feeling. Is there space for you in your life? Have you started to create rituals, routines, and things that help you to take better care of yourself? You're the only one who can do that. And if you need support, you gotta ask for it. You gotta say it out loud. I am saying this to remind myself, if I need support, I need to ask for it. And there are people in my life who I can receive that from. There's your nugget. I was talking to the book publishers about the bio on the cover, so we're getting closer. We've got the inside of the book done. The outside of the book needs to get done. That is the next step. I am taking new clients, but I have limited space at this point. I'm almost at capacity. If you need to get a hold of me or would like to get a hold of me, it's lx2.cod.coach@gmail.com. Thank you so much to everyone who's watching and everyone who's listening. Mexico, Singapore, the Netherlands, New Zealand, where else? Belize, I think. Anyway, thank you again. I will end the video. I'm going to end the podcast and have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. All right, we have ended the video and we are going to end the podcast. Thank you again to everyone who's listening and sharing and having great conversations from engaging with this podcast. I really do appreciate it. You can reach me on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all the things. I will talk to you soon. Take care.